Reserve Bank Board meets for the last time this year, this afternoon. It's likely to be a fairly uneventful meeting, though. Most economists are tipping that the RBA will keep official rates steady today so as not to give more fuel to resurgent house prices on the East Coast. But will that be the right decision? The latest GDP growth figures out tomorrow are expected to point to a surprisingly weakening economy as company profits and consumer spending sag. Stephen Kokoulis is one economist who thinks the RBA should deliver a rate cut today. He is the managing director of the Canberra-based consultancy Market Economics. Stephen Kokoulis, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
So most economists think the next move for interest rates should be up. You think the RBA should keep cutting and should cut again today. Why?
In very simple terms, inflation is at a record low. The September quarter numbers that we saw a few weeks ago confirmed that inflation is well and truly locked in below their target range. Wages growth, as we keep hearing, is at the lowest level ever recorded. As you touched on, we're likely to get some softening in the growth numbers that come out tomorrow. So it's one where if the inflation rate is below the target, growth is moderate at best. The exchange rate this morning, close to 75 cents. The risk-reward of cutting interest rates, the risk is not much in terms of seeing inflation move to the top end of the target range. The reward is that you might actually support the economy, see the Aussie dollar fall a little bit, and promote a little bit of spending, particularly in business investment, which of course is the weakest part of the economy right now.
But timing is everything, and the signs are pointing to higher inflation down the track, especially if Donald Trump's infrastructure spending extravaganza actually happens. I mean, that's why economists are tipping higher interest rates next year. The banks are already lifting rates on their fixed rate mortgage loans. We've seen some more rises overnight. So, you know, rates are already going up in anticipation of that. That's how the bank's economists are saying things.
Sure. Look, of course, the infrastructure spend, in fact, even just the performance of the US economy before Trump won, regardless of who won, was actually doing pretty well. And the Fed was on track to hike interest rates anyway. But that's the US. If we look at the other 75% of world GDP, if you look at the euro area, Japan, and even the weakness in the Chinese economy, it's pretty clear that there's not that breadth of growth in the global economy that's going to be, you know, dragging Australia on onward and upward, if you like. That we've got this scenario where, yes, it's likely that inflation's going to be picking up, but it's by no means certain. And when you've got inflation currently running at about 1.5%, you know, well below the target range, the risk-reward of cutting rates now suggests to me that you might get better economic activity. And in fact, one of the things that's interesting with the MIEFO coming up in a couple of weeks is that we're probably going to get this budget position still being very fraught, the deficit still large, these sorts of things. And that's largely because the economy is not growing strong enough. So even the budget numbers are telling us the economy is not strong.
Well, that's true. The budget will show that the deficit's going to be even pushed further out, you'd imagine. We've got economic data out in the past week, which suggests the latest GDP could disappoint. The figures might point to a looming growth slump on the back of weak business investment, falling company profits, lackluster consumer confidence. I mean, how bad is the outlook? How would you describe the outlook?
I reckon it's more of the same that we've seen for probably 5 years now. There's pockets that are doing well. You mentioned house prices in the introduction. In Sydney and Melbourne in particular, they're still booming, and that's a cause for concern from the Reserve Bank. They don't want that imbalance in the housing market. So
it's a cause of confidence in some corners of the market and absolute despair in others.
Indeed. In fact, that's the double-edged sword of house prices. Mm. Those of us lucky enough to have bought a house many years ago are thinking, gee, we've got a lot of money now, so we're tending to spend it. But you are freezing out a number of other potential buyers. But so you've got that. And we've got this slump in business investment. I think the thing that's been underreported or underanalyzed is how weak business investment is, not just in mining. We know that's weak and will continue to be weak for some time. It's the non-mining investment part of the economy that's the real drag. And while a 25-point or even 50 points, let's say, of interest rate cuts won't spark that higher, it does help the business community, as well as homeowners and people with debt, to improve their cash flow so they've got, you know, more money in their pockets, if you like, because they're paying less interest. That improves economic growth. And there's someone who,
but Stephen, does it do that? I mean, we have seen these rate cuts. The interest rates are at historic lows now, and we've got this lackluster growth.
Yes, they do help it. And of course, the Reserve Bank would be the first ones to say that perhaps some of the potency has gone. You mentioned also that the banks are putting up their rates out of cycle. They're putting them up anyway because of this big bond market sell-off that's been occurring since Donald Trump won the election, that we've seen their funding costs go up. And in fact, that could be occurring at exactly the wrong time. In fact, that's another reason why the RBA may be wanting at some stage to cut rates, because they know full well that the banks won't pass it on in full, but they've got this other pressure going on. So, look, to me, again, the risk-reward, cut rates now, what's it going to do to the economy? Is it going to fuel a housing bubble? Probably not. Is it going to see inflation blow out of the top end of the target range? Probably not. Will it help the economy? It might at the margin.
But again, it's about timing. You've just done research yourself for Dun & Bradstreet, which points to stronger business sentiment going forward. So even though business spending might be down and business confidence down, there's stronger business sentiment going forward. What is your research telling you about the health of the business sector?
This is a real conundrum. This is a real dilemma. We've been seeing it for a few months now, that the businesses are telling us that their expectations for future sales and profitability, these sorts of things, are quite good. That when the survey comes through, they say, yes, we are looking to increase our expenditure, our employment levels. But when the actual results come in, so expectations are being disappointed, that they're not meeting these robust expectations. So we've got this grey area, I'd like to call it, in the economy right now, where businesses and even consumers are feeling pretty good. You know, they're not exuberant, but they're feeling pretty good, but it's not translating into real economic activity.
Okay, Stephen, can I just ask you briefly and finally, Matteo Renzi's resignation in Italy drove a slump in the euro. John Key's resignation in New Zealand saw a tumble in the Kiwi. We've had a lot of leaders going. We've got that BuzzFeed photo of François Hollande, David Cameron, Obama, Matteo Renzi. Investors get edgy when respected leaders leave the stage, don't they?
They do indeed. In fact, the markets really shy away from uncertainty. And when there's a competent or a good leader that loses their way, and I think many of the people that you've mentioned are some of the better ones that we've seen, retiring or being forced to resign because of referendums in their particular countries, that you do get this market uncertainty. But the problem with the currencies, of course, it's happening in many different countries now, so you're getting this conflicting pressure. But it's to be hoped that they're replaced by someone competent and that we get into 2017 with the world economy looking a little better.
That's always the hope. Let's get someone competent in the leadership. Stephen Kokoulos, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Stephen Kokoulos is an economist at Market Economics. It's coming up to 7 o'clock and let's stay with the economy. Sue Lannan joins us with the latest finance news. Hi, Sue.
Good morning, Fran. US investors have shrugged off Italy's rejection of constitutional change. The Dow Jones Index reached another record high, driven by banks and energy stocks as oil prices rose. A short time ago, it was up 0.1% at 19,207. The Nasdaq is up about 0.8%, and the S&P 500 has also gained ground. Now, most European markets looked past the Italian referendum results. The FTSE 100 in London rose 0.25%. To 6,747, but Italy's market fell 0.1%. The country's biggest bank, UniCredit, lost 3%. The euro regained some ground after plunging against the US dollar. In futures trade here, the ASX by 200 up 0.8% to 5,442. To commodities, oil prices increased. Brent crude rose 32 cents to $54.78 US a barrel. Spot gold has dropped. It's down $5 at $1,171.70 US an ounce. And Fran, the Australian dollar is buying around 74.82 US cents, 58.76 British pence, 69.40 euro cents, 85 Japanese yen, and more than $1.04 New Zealand.
Thank you very much, Sue Lannan.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell, media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.